This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. Yes, we say that because it's true. God's word is verbally inspired, my friend. The Lord dictated the Bible. I told someone the other day, every jot, every tittle, every comma, every question mark, inspired by the Lord. But the message you hear today by the late pastor, L.R. Shelton, is The Voice of the Devil, Part 1, and it's very informative. If you're a student of the Bible at all, my friend, write and get these messages in print. We'll be glad to send them to you free and postpaper. You stay tuned now and hear the broadcast.
We have recorded in the Bible only three times that Satan spake personally. The first time we hear Satan's voice is in the third chapter of Genesis. The second time we hear his voice in the first and second chapters of Job, and then we do not hear his voice again until the fourth chapter of Matthew and the fourth chapter of Luke, where he spoke to Christ and tempted him in the wilderness. The Bible is our only source of authentic knowledge and information about Satan. I know we're living in a day when Satan's existence is denied, and folks say there is no such a thing as a personal devil. But there is. Well, if that's all you know, you are mighty stupid spiritually. Now let's turn to the third chapter of Genesis and hear the voice of Satan for the first time in Bible history. Quote, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, Ye shall not surely die." You know, men have laughed at that and poked fun at it. Yes, they have. But they'll wake up in hell for their trouble. After God had created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden to keep it and have dominion over his creation, Satan came in the form of a serpent. That is, he was personified in the serpent. And the first time he did was to question the word of God. "Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." This is one of Satan's peculiar ways of leading individuals away from God. It is the first question. It is to question God's word to them. As he said before, we cannot separate an individual and his word. Once you question the word of an individual, you have questioned his character. Once you question the word of God, you question God's character. To put a question mark after God's word means that you put a question mark after his character. When Satan can cause you to doubt his word, then your confidence in God will be shaken. The individual who is brought to question God's word never gets saved. To question the virgin birth of Christ is to make him the child of a harlot. Therefore, you have no Savior, no Redeemer. To question the virgin birth of Christ is to question his deity, and to question the deity of Christ is to have no God, and therefore no Savior, no substitute, no sin offering. If you destroy a person's confidence in my word, then he turns away from me. He will not believe the message I bring. Therefore, the message does him no good. He'll believe a lie and be damned rather than believe what I say, because you have caused him to question my character. When Satan succeeds in getting you to question or doubt the Word of God, then you turn away, not only from the Word of God, but you turn away from God himself. And Satan knows it, and Satan laughs at it. I believe that's one time when Satan gets a big laugh, is when you are caused to question God's Word. When he questioned the Word of God to Eve there in the garden, she immediately began to add to it, and her confidence in God was shaken, and she readily believed the lie of Satan rather than the truth of God. Satan doesn't care what lie you believe, just so you distrust God's Word. The Bible is God's Word, whether you believe it, whether anyone believes it. When Satan can get you to question God's Word about hell, then you will not trust God for salvation. He has you on his side when he can get you to believe that the Bible just contains the Word of God. Then you will begin to question which part of it is the Word of God. Therefore, he has you on the debugging slide to hell. I heard a young preacher say one day, "The Bible contains the Word of God." I said, "Uh-oh, that man's not saved. If the Bible just contains the Word of God, who's going to show me what part is the Word of God? Then your opinion is as good as mine, and my opinion is as good as yours. We will neither one agree on what is the Word of God. We will take out there what we don't want, and we'll put in our own opinion. And my friend, your opinion will send you to hell." That's right. All right, now listen. When Satan succeeded in getting Eve to question God's Word, then he led her on and got her to question the severity or judgment of God. Listen to Genesis 3:4. Satan said, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Man, in his blinded natural state, cannot see and understand why God should punish a sinner for his sins. We are living in a day when preachers do not believe in the judgment of God. Therefore, the churches have taken the sword of justice out of the hands of a sovereign God. 200 years ago, or 100 years ago, there thundered forth from many of our pulpits the judgment and the severity of God. And those pulpits made men tremble, because God is a God of judgment. They do not believe in the severity or the judgment of God. That is the voice of Satan. Whenever and wherever you hear men or women cry down and belittle and make fun of the severity or the judgment of God, you are listening to the voice of Satan. The Word of God says, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt die." The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The Bible says, "The wages of sin is death." The Bible says, "And they shall cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide, to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb." You didn't know that Christ could get angry, did you? You thought he's just a lowly Nazarene, never get angry at sin. But there's coming a day when men and women will cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne of God as a lamb slain. Yes, sir. And he's angry at sin. The Bible says that hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. The Bible says the devil and his angels and all nations that forget God shall be cast into hell. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Men don't believe that today. The average one I'm preaching to this morning, you don't believe it. No, you say that God is too good to send folks to hell. Yet in the face of God's word, men and women will stand up and tell you that God will not punish sin. Here's the slimy crawl of the devil through our pulpits today. Listen to his voice. This individual may not have lived exactly the life he should have lived, but we believe he went to heaven, says the preacher. At every funeral that I've ever been to, while the other fellow did the preaching, get it now? That preacher preached that individual into heaven, regardless of the life he lived, until a woman said to me one day, you preachers don't believe there's a hell. I said, why? Said, I've been to over 100 funerals of the drunkard, the harlot, the thief, the murderer, every type of sinner who's died. And the preacher stood there with tears in his eyes saying, brother or sister so-and-so went to heaven because they were members of the church, or they heard you in their youth and they loved the gospel. Listen, old John the Baptist, Herod heard John the Baptist gladly, but he's in hell today. My friend, I said to this woman, you better not ask me to preach your funeral. I'll tell them where you went. One day I was called on to preach the funeral of a harlot. I knew who had turned the truth down. When I committed her body to the earth, I said, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, to wait the resurrection morning for the damned. I wasn't going to mislead those people. And my friends, God will punish sin. God does punish sin. Here's the slimy crawl of Satan through our pulpits today. Listen to his voice. This individual may not have lived exactly the life he should have lived, but we believe he went to heaven, says the preacher. You know, God is such a good God, such a loving God, that he will overlook sin. And somehow or other we believe that they will be saved. Brother, no wonder our churches are gone. On the other hand, the average individual today believes that somehow or other God will pass over his sins and he will not have to stand in judgment. He believes that therefore somehow or other he will be saved. There's no other way. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you know that is what the average one of you are saying this morning? Oh, I'm not uneasy about myself, preacher. No, sirree, Bob. I believe somehow or other I'll get there. I have it just deep down in my heart. Don't be uneasy about me, preacher. Oh, I don't understand it, but I believe that I'll get to heaven by and by. Therefore, you know not about the severity or the judgment of God. You know nothing about the judgment of God on sin. You know nothing about God's punishing sin. You let the Holy Spirit open your heart and show you that you are under the judgment of God and the distance you are from a holy God, and you'll begin to cry out and wonder if you'll ever get to Christ, and you'll say, I don't believe that I ever will be saved. Now, buddy, there's the difference. There's a different tune, isn't it? Because you're singing a different song. You're singing a different tune, aren't you? Because the Holy Spirit has opened you to the fact that you are lost and under the judgment of God. My friends, then you see the great distance between you and a holy God, and you are like the prodigal son. When he was yet afar off, he will seem as if he will never get there. You will begin to wonder. Many of you are saying, Pastor, will I ever get to Christ? But one day, you thought that everything was all right, and now your eyes are open. You're not praising God. You did not die, and you did not die in that state and go out into hell without warning. The judgment of God, the severity of God, is taught in God's Word, and God is a God of judgment, and His judgment are righteous altogether. And when He opened your heart and let you see, as Lydia saw, your wretched, wicked, undone condition, that you are a guilty sinner, you'll begin to cry, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. I'm lost. I'm guilty. You change your tune, don't you? But an individual goes humming right down the line. Yet an individual who goes humming right down the line, exposing sin and the judgment of God on sin, and you'll raise a cry from the average pulpit and the pew from Dan to Beersheba. They will begin to cry that individual down, saying, he's too hard. He makes sin. He makes his preaching too hard. He's taking everything away from the individual. My friend, you cannot make it any harder than God's Word. No, you can't. Let a doctor come into a room where a patient is sick, and he takes all foods of certain types away. Does anyone say, oh, doctor, you're treating that individual too badly. You ought to give him what he wants. You ought to give him that food. No, you know it's not for his good. And brother, an old sinner, unawakened, will begin to cry and say, somehow or another I believe, I'll get there. Preacher, don't worry about me, but let the Holy Spirit begin to open his heart. Show him the judgment he's under. Then he will see his distance from the Holy God. And when you preach to that sinner, and the Holy Spirit keeps breaking down that sinner and taking away his sins, then folks out yonder will begin to holler and cry, oh, that preacher's too hard. He's too hard. Oh, I cannot go that way. I cannot put up with that type of preaching. He's too hard. Well, bud, you'll just have to go to hell. All I know, God's Word, I can't make it any harder than God's Word. No, sir, I cannot be any harder than the Bible is. Listen, listen here. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And you can't take an eraser and erase that out as a mistake either. But Satan says, he shall not surely die. God's Word says, the wages of sin is death. Satan says, ye shall not surely die. Now, who are you going to believe? Are you going to follow Satan's lie and be damned? That is what many of you are doing, and most of you, all over this nation, in a time of violence, in a time of bloodshed, in a time of rioting. You won't listen to the voice of God. You won't. You won't take out time. You are drunk on drugs. The sin of sorcery is taking our land today. Millions are turning to drugs to try to drown their lives in sin. That sorcery. My friends, you can't get by with it. You'll have to reap the results of it. In these great gatherings, in small gatherings of our young people, There is nothing but drugs taken by them and overwhelming them until they do not know what they're doing. That's witchcraft. That's sorcery to the nth degree. You study it, will you? Man in his depraved state believes the voice of Satan and would rather believe Satan's lie and be damned than to believe God's truth and be saved. If the Holy Spirit never opened your heart and let you see that you're under the judgment of God, under the wrath of God, and you acknowledge it and flee to Christ for pardon, you'll never be saved. Let's stop questioning God's word and the judgment of God and turn to Christ, will you? Stop questioning it. Listen, will you, my friend? I hold in my hand a copy of God's word. This book is true. Every word of it is true, inspired by the Holy Spirit, verbally inspired. Now, I want to tell you, my friends, you'll believe it and be saved, or you'll disbelieve it and be damned. You cannot question God's word or the judgment of God or God's penalty on sin and never be saved. I would this morning that you would quit questioning the word of God and turn with one cry, Lord, lead me that I may believe God's word. I may believe it. Stop questioning it, will you? Do you hear Satan's voice? Satan is laughing and questioning. The unsaved religionists cannot tell the difference between the voice of Satan and the voice of God until God gives him the effectual call and breaks him and teaches him and shows him the difference. Now that's so. Let me say again that the unsaved religionist believes that all religious impressions in the form of dreams, visions, feelings, emotions, or experiences come from God. They don't know the difference. There sat with me one day a man, 79 years of age, and told me about a dream he had had. I listened to him, and then I looked at him and smiled and said, "Your old tomcat nature got the best of you, didn't it? Huh? That's it. Your old tomcat nature got the best of you. It made him so mad. He said he'd never talk to me again. I know the Lord had nothing to do with his dream. Probably he ate too much lemon pie or potato custard for supper that upset his liver, and he had a dream." My friends, why in the name of high heaven are you living in that realm today that shows that you know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the thing that breaks my heart. It would be funny if it were not so tragical to see the slimy, shallow mud flat on which you live and stake the destiny of your soul. When you're not traveling, and when you are traveling toward eternity from which you will not return, and you're going to make your bed in hell unless you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is the thing that I'm battling with your soul about, and that you come to know him and not have a little religious covering, but know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen, friends, may the blessings of our Lord rest upon you. Do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? Have you turned to God's word? Have all the doubts about God's word fled away? Have you taken God at his word and what God says about sin and judgment and hell and damnation and condemnation? Have you taken God at his word and see what he says about Christ and his dying for you, that salvation is of the Lord? You better listen. You better listen and turn unto the Lord. No matter whether anybody else turns or not, be the one that will turn. Go not with the thousands. One day a man sat in my office, and I pled with him to turn from the game of making money. I said, "It's no sin to make money, but it's a game with you. You're making money. You're making money. It'll come the time when you'll make money. Whether you make it right or make it under a shadow, you'll make money. That's your game. That's That your game. It's a game with you. You're playing it now, but you'll play it in hell. He turned, never to come back. God help us in these hours that we'll turn to the Lord. My friend, I wish I could lead you by the hand and lead you to Christ. I know what Christ means.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you heard was The Voice of the Devil, Part 1. Oh, what a message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, Sr. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis introducing the message. The pastor here at Radio Missions, I sat under Pastor Shelton's ministry many, many years, and then the Lord called me into this ministry, and I've heard these messages back there when they were brought many years ago, and I never get tired of hearing them again, and they're just like better than a seminary education, my friend, and I just can't explain to you how blessed we are to have these messages, and I encourage you to write and get them. First of all, we'll send you a copy of printed, free and postpaid, or many of them to give out if you'd like, other titles. But also, I want to remind you, our website here is radiomissions.org. And you can go there and look now and find Radio Missions Radio. That's a new facility that we have, a new endeavor. And it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have there all of our regular services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, worship hour, Bible school, all are there on our scheduled time. And then we have classic radio, sermons from yesteryear, also good choir music, good sound choir music by our lead choir and other gracious gospel songs, messages by other good tapes and CDs that we have. And they're just it's just a blessing. The Lord has provided that for us. And it's just a blessing. Folks are writing me now and telling me how they appreciate it. But also, it's Radio Missions Radio. Go there to our website and you can find it. And other must material there, a list of our messages and also catalog from our radio, Bible, and bookstore. But remember, the message you heard today was The Voice of the Devil, Part 1. We'll have Part 2 shortly. But remember, this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here, the old trailblazer, and inviting you to stay with us. Week after week, time after time, and also encouraging you to write us. Help us with the broadcast. A lady called me the other day, and she said, Pastor, you mean it costs money on these radio stations? You mean y'all have to pay for those radio stations? I said, yes, ma'am, we sure do. It costs a lot of money. But the Lord is faithful, has been, and will be. And so you help us. Would you do that? My phone number here, area code 225-664-8658. Goodbye, and God bless you.